So we're continuing on our series, Equipped for Battle, and we're looking at the Salvation Army doctrines today. We're going to look at a couple of our doctrines. We're going to knock a few over at once today, because I kind of think they link in nicely together. But first of all, can anyone tell me who the guy with the tie is? That's okay, I never knew either. How about those clothes? Check that out. Yeah, wish that was colour. Wow. Well, you may have heard, you might not know who he is, but you may have heard the story of who that guy in the tie is. His name is Eugene Land, and he was a self-made multimillionaire, and he greatly changed the lives of a sixth grade class. And this was a few years later, but these were some of the lives of that he changed through a really generous thing that he did. Land, we'll Google it and we'll remember. Anyway, he was asked to speak to a sixth grade class at the same school he attended as a child. And so he was thinking to himself, what can I say to inspire these students? Most of these students were from a poor, disadvantaged neighborhood, and many of these students would no doubt drop out of school. And this is what he said to the New York Times. He said, I looked out at the audience of almost entirely black and Hispanic students, wondering what I could say to them. I had intended to tell them and their families and their teachers that I once attended this school more than half a century earlier. And I wanted to tell them that I worked hard, that I made a lot of money, and that if they worked hard, they too could make a lot of money. But I decided to ditch my notes. And I decided to speak from the heart instead. So he said to this class, stay in school. And if you do, I will pay your college fees for each and every one of you. At that moment, the lives of these students changed. For the first time in a really long time, they had hope. One student said, I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling. Well, nearly 90% of that class went on to graduate high school. Many went on to college. Others, Eugene actually helped them find jobs. This started a movement called the I Have a Dream movement, in which I think, if my numbers are correctly, over 100,000 kids were helped to go to college. Hope is an amazing thing, isn't it? Hope can transform a life from meaninglessness into a life full of purpose and direction. It can even motivate sixth grade students. For those that have teachers or have young kids, hope can even motivate kids. Hope is a pretty amazing thing. Well, today, as I said, we're going to continue to look at our doctrines, and I want to look at doctrines 4 and 5. So doctrine 4 says, we believe that in the person of Jesus Christ, the divine and human natures are united, so that he is truly and properly God and truly and properly man. So that's that one. And then this one, number 5. We believe that our first parents were created in a state of innocency, but by their disobedience, they lost their purity and happiness. And in consequence of their fall, all men and women, all people, have become sinners, totally depraved, and as such are justly exposed to the wrath of God.
A simpler form of these two doctrines, the first one is Jesus is both God and truly human. He has both God's nature and our nature. And a simpler way to understand number five is our parents, by their disobedience, lost their sense of God's favour and came under the power of sin. And because of this, we're all inclined to do wrong. We're all inclined to do wrong. So when we look at these two doctrines, there's a lot of hope there, isn't there? It's full of hope. Doctrine 5 uses words like totally depraved, lost our purity and happiness, the wrath of God, the power of sin. We're inclined to do wrong. There's a lot of hope in these doctrines. Where is the hope? How can anyone who is totally deprived have any hope? Well, we find our hope in Jesus. And in just a little bit, for our final song, we're going to sing, "In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found." We find our hope in Jesus. But first this morning, let's let our minds drift back to what Andy Williams, now, if this will help you remember who Andy Williams is. How's that? He's a good-looking man, isn't he? Look at that hair. To what Andy Williams calls the most wonderful time of the year, where the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you to be good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. We're going to drift our minds back to this season. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of glories of Christmases long, long ago. We're going to let our minds drift back to the true meaning of Christmas. Because Christmas is all about gifts, you see. But it isn't gifts that it's wrapped in paper and with a bow. It's instead the gift that God gives each one of us. These gifts from God come straight from one source and one source alone, His Son Jesus. Jesus, the hope of the world. We read this morning from Philippians chapter 2. In the Bible it says, "Though he was God, he laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like man. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross." It's from the Living Bible, but we read from the NIV earlier. Our source of hope comes from this man that laid aside his power and glory and came to be one of us. 2,000 years ago in a little Middle Eastern town, God sent all to us, the source of all hope, to come to earth in the form of a little baby in a manger. This little baby would grow up to be a man who had lived a perfect life and then died a criminal's death. He died a criminal's death because he traded all our shortcomings and our sins for his perfect life. Jesus made us perfect in God's eyes. He gave us hope. He took away this idea of us being totally depraved. You see, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us Jesus. Jesus, who was truly and properly God and truly and properly man, came into our world so that we no longer have to be totally depraved. Jesus' life and death gave us hope. Hope for our past, hope for our present, and hope for our future. We're going to look at that in a little bit more detail. Hope for our past, first of all. We're not going to have a confessional time. That could be the first in the list and would be here all day. But we've all done things in our past that we wish we could take back. Things that we regret. Things that we could wish that we could have a do-over with. Things that separate us from God. Because that's what sin does. Sin separates us from our perfect God. No matter how hard we try, we can never bridge that gap back. That's why God's gift of Jesus brings us hope. God's gift of Jesus is God's gift of hope. In this case, it brings us hope for our past. The things in my life that I wish I could do over, the things that cause me pain and heartache, the things that I wish I could make right again, are made right because of Jesus' life and death. In 1 Peter 3, it says, "Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. God is so good, and by raising Jesus from the death, he gave us new life and a hope that lives on." We all have those deep, dark secrets that hold us down, those mistakes and poor choices that we might have made. Our doctrines say that we're all sinners, but our past can be made right by a new life with Jesus. Our past can be made right because Jesus has given us hope. This was the gift that God gave us over 2,000 years ago when Jesus lived and died for our sins. And it's God's gift for us even still today. God gives us all the ultimate second chance by erasing our past and calls us into a new life with Jesus. When we realize our past can be forgiven and forgotten, all those guilty feelings can be taken away because our hearts have been made right with hope. But not only does God give us hope for our past, he also gives us hope for our present. God's gift of hope is also good news for the right now, this very moment. God has given us hope for the present. In Acts chapter 2, it says, "Because of this, my heart will be glad, my words will be joyful, I live in hope." But what does it mean to live in hope? It means that because of what Jesus did, we can be free. We can be full of joy and we can live in hope. When Jesus rose from the grave, he rose from the grave of our sins. All those sins that each one of us committed and struggle with, Jesus has defeated each and every one of them. We live in hope, knowing that Jesus has overcome sin and death and offers us true freedom. And that true freedom isn't just for some time when we all get to heaven, but that freedom and forgiveness is for the here and now as well. God says, "I will take away your past. I will set you free from all those things so that you can live in freedom right here, right now." We are free because God's gift of Jesus gives us hope for the present. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." God gives us hope. He gives us a fresh start, and he changes the way that we look at the world. Our lives are made meaningful because of God's gift, and his gift should not be wasted on the old way of living. We can enjoy God's gift of Jesus by living in the freedom that he gave each one of us. He gives us hope for our present situation. God's gift of hope erases our past, sets us free in our present situation, and gives us hope for our future. This isn't the actual map because I couldn't find it on the internet. Internet let me down, but you get the picture. This is a map. This isn't a map, actually. This is an illustration of a map that's on display in the British Museum in London. It's an old mariner's map drawn in 1525, outlining the North American coastline and the adjacent waters. And the person who made the map made some interesting notations on areas around the map, areas that represented regions not yet explored. And he wrote on here, on the map, he said, in these areas that weren't explored, he wrote, "Here be giants. Here be fierce scorpions. Here be dragons." I wish I could find that map. I thought it would look pretty good, wouldn't it? Here be dragons. Here be fierce scorpions. Here be dragons. Eventually, the map came into the possession of Sir John Franklin, a British explorer in the early 1800s. Scratching out the fearful inscriptions of giants and scorpions and dragons, he wrote these words across the map. He wrote, "Here is God. Here is God." God's gift of hope is so that we can all enjoy a future that says, "Here is God." God gives us hope by erasing our past, gives us hope by setting us free, and gives us hope by making sure our future is sure. Because all who call on the name of Jesus will be saved. He is God in the past, in the now, and in the future. It's going to skip back a second. This doctrine here, it's one I don't like to leave on its own. I didn't want to leave today with just this doctrine leaving us with this idea that we are totally depraved and as such justly exposed to the wrath of God. So thankfully, straight after this doctrine, we have another doctrine that says we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has, by his suffering and death, made an atonement for the whole world so that whosoever may be saved. Whosoever may be saved. We are no longer totally depraved because Jesus died and set us free. Sorry, I didn't put these verses on there. That's okay. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I will bless you with a future filled with hope." How good is that? I will bless you with a future filled with hope. Even though we might be in a tough situation right now, even though there might be strongholds that are holding us down, we can have hope that our future is in God's loving hands. No matter what we're facing today, God says, "I have won the victory for you, and I will bless you with a future filled with hope." Job, he was going through a pretty tough time. And in Job 11, verse 18, it says, "You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and you will take rest in safety." You will be secure because there is hope. That's what our future is. It is secure and full of hope. God's gift of hope through Jesus is so amazing. So this morning, we can all enjoy that hope that is found in God's gift of Jesus. Jesus, who is truly and properly man and truly and properly God. Jesus came to set us free so that we are no longer totally depraved. And because of his victory on the cross, we can all experience freedom from our sins. So some of you might not know what this hope is all about because you've never taken hold of this hope that is right in front of you. If you've never said to God, I need you to come and save me from my past, to give me freedom for the right now and to give me hope for the future, there's no better day than today. God has done all the work through Jesus. And if you ask him to come and give you the gift of hope, he will. But will you accept his gift? Don't live here today without talking to someone about what this gift means for you. Let's pray. Gracious God, we just thank you. We thank you that you sent Jesus as the ultimate gift for each one of us. Lord, we thank you that you don't leave us in the state of being totally depraved. Lord, but you give us a hope for our future. Lord, thank you that you give each and every one of us the opportunity to call on your name to be saved, to be set free. To enjoy eternal life with you. So Lord, this morning I just pray. I pray for those in our community, Lord, our church community, the wider Gungahlin community, Lord, the wider Canberra community. Lord, I pray for those close to our hearts, our family and our friends, Lord, that don't know you. Lord, I pray that your light would shine in their lives in a powerful way. Lord, and they would turn and say, in Christ alone, my hope is found. Lord, I pray for those close to us that are struggling at the moment. Lord, those that have a stronghold that's holding them down. And Lord, we just pray that you would break through those strongholds. Lord, that they would know that that you are more powerful than all things, Lord. That you would put people in their lives to help them in whatever they need help with, Lord. Lord, that would help them and guide them and be a great support for them. Lord, put the right people in the right people's lives at this time, Lord, we pray. May each and every one of us here today and in our wider communities, our friends and family, know the everlasting power of God's saving love. This we pray in your name. Amen. Well, this morning as we go forth into the world, take hold of those words that sin's curse has lost a grip on each and every one of us. For I am his and he is mine. We've been brought by the precious blood of Christ. Go in peace to love and serve our wonderful Saviour. Amen.